I know that today is the coldest day that we've had in a long time, and winter apparently is finally arriving, but this morning, I want to start off by talking about ice cream. And I think that it doesn't matter what the temperature is outside, it's always a good time to talk and to think about ice cream. Because, you know, if you've ever made homemade ice cream, you know the routine you have to go through. You have to get all your ingredients together. You get your ice cream maker machine. You put all those ingredients, mix them together in that little canister. Then you put the canister in the machine. You surround it with ice. And then you take a little thing called rock salt, and you put it in the ice mixture there, or in the ice. Well, I had a friend who was making some homemade ice cream one day, and they did all that. They got the machine running, and then they realized that they had actually forgotten an important ingredient. I don't even know what it was, but they said they'd forgotten an ingredient. So they turned the machine off. They carefully removed the lid, added that ingredient, put the lid back on, started the machine, thought everything was good. Ice cream got done, then they started serving the ice cream, realized that apparently they had made a huge mistake because the ice cream tasted like pure salt. Because apparently, during that process, a little piece of the salt had fallen to the ice cream while that lid was off. And a very important lesson was learned. A little bit of salt can make a big difference in what it goes into. Or perhaps, as the story I shared with the children, you've been inside of a cave. I remember as a child, my parents taking me to the Lost Sea, and I just loved it. And we're in there in the Lost Sea, and then the guy tells us, hey, guess what? I need you to sit still, don't move, don't try to run around anywhere. And he turned off that light, and I remember that time so well because that was the first time I ever really experienced complete darkness. And I'm not talking about just darkness like it gets at night in our bedrooms. I'm talking about complete, utter darkness. Because I remember putting my hand in front of my face and not being able to see it and actually hitting my nose and not even realizing my hand was there. And then the guy took out this little just lighter, and he flicked it on. And I remember that appeared to be the brightest light I had ever seen. Just from a little light. And I learned on that day that no matter how thick darkness is, that even the smallest light can penetrate it. And that's why I love these metaphors that Jesus began using as we're continuing to look in Matthew chapter 5 at the Sermon on the Mount. Because it begins to describe what Jesus expects of us and how that we are to impact our world for Him. You know, as we've been traveling through this series on the Sermon on the Mount, we have looked at all of the individual Beatitudes, and Jesus has given us this list of characteristics of someone who has been radically transformed by the Spirit. And as He gives us this list, He's not talking about somebody who just woke up one morning and said, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to try to be somebody different this morning. No, He's talking about someone here who is spiritually bankrupt, that they realize apart from Christ, they are absolutely nothing, and they mourn and grieve over this. And they humble themselves, and they turn to Christ, and Christ gives them a new life, a new nature, a new spirit. And we began to hunger and to thirst after righteousness. We show mercy to other people because of our pureness in heart. And despite all that we are doing and all that is going on in the midst of that, we maintain our righteousness even in the midst of persecution. And so as soon as He finished talking about the Beatitude, He immediately moves into this amazing analogy about His disciples being light and salt. So let's look at what Jesus has to say here, beginning in verse 13. He says, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. The first thing I want us to see from this passage is this. We are to be salt and light. Because look at the opening phrase here to both of these metaphors. Jesus says, you are salt. You are light. Jesus doesn't say, now I want you to act like salt, and I want you to act like light, even though you are not. And here's why this is important. It's because probably many of you here have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And every morning you wake up, Jesus has already said you are salt and you are light. But there are probably many mornings you wake up that you just don't feel like salt and light. Or maybe there's somebody here and you don't know Christ. But you know what it is to be a Christian. You've been surrounded by Christians and you think they're all good. But as you look at yourself, you just feel that there is no way you can do all of that stuff. No matter where we fall on that spectrum, there are many times, though, that we become so frustrated because we see what Jesus has said, but we begin to say, I cannot do all of those things that Jesus expects of us. But here's the thing. None of us can on our own. That's why he starts off this passage, this sermon, with blessed are the poor in spirit. Because it begins with us being broken, realizing that apart from Christ, we can't do anything. That there is absolutely nothing we can do. Because see, Jesus here is not talking about a person working under his own strength, but he's talking about a person who has a new spirit, a new nature, a new heart because of the Spirit living within us. Because we are only able to live this out because of the power of the Spirit who is living within us. That's why Paul was able to say in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling to which you have been called. See, it's important for us to understand what Paul is saying here because our understanding of our own identity can have a huge impact on our lives and how we live. There was a psychology study that was done in the early 1970s. You've probably heard of it. That was done on the campus of Stanford University. It was a very controversial experiment, and what they did is they created a mock jail in the basement of one of the buildings there on campus. And so what they did is they asked for 24 volunteers who would come in, and they picked 24 people from this, and they randomly picked 12 of those 24 to be inmates and 12 of them to be guards. Now, for those who were picked to be guards, they invited them into an office. They gave them a uniform. They gave them some dark glasses, and they said, you're going to be a guard at this jail, and all you are supposed to do is to maintain order. Now, for the 12 who were chosen to be inmates, they went to their rooms. They went to the place they lived. They arrested them. They handcuffed them. They took them in. They took their pictures. They took their fingerprints. They did all of this. Then they put blindfolds on them and took them into this mock jail. And what happened is eventually, just even within a matter of days, these people began to act like what they were. Because actually there were two of these students who were inmates that had a mental breakdown just 2 days into this experiment. Because what happened is the guards began to act like what they thought guards would act like. They began to insult the prisoners. They began to just mistreat them. And the inmates, all that they had was this little jumpsuit that had a number on it. Number on the front, a number on the back. So they weren't even called by their names. They no longer had a name. They were just prisoner number one or prisoner number two. And they were called by that number. And they were expecting this to last for a month or longer. But they had to shut it down after just a couple of weeks because of just the mental breakdowns that were happening amongst the inmates. But what was learned from this experiment is that our understanding of our identity can change us. Because in this experiment, they started acting like guards. They started acting like inmates. And so it's important for us then to understand who we are in Christ. Jesus here is not saying, I just want you to understand this. What he is saying here is he is saying, you are salt. You are light. And this is what I expect of you. And so it's important for us to know we are salt. We are light. So we must be salt and light. But what does that mean? Well, when he says that, we must understand that it is also a call for action. Now, we don't know precisely what Jesus had in mind because he doesn't go into detail about everything here, but we can kind of infer from it. We know enough about salt and light to be able to know what Jesus was intending here, but there is one thing that both of these things have in common, and that is that both salt and light are ineffective if they do not do anything. They are both ineffective if they just sit there. Because we know that during the first century, before there was refrigeration, salt was used to preserve things. You know, you would take all your meat, and you would just take that salt, and you would throw it on there, you would rub it all on there, and then you would hang that piece of meat up, and it would make it last longer. It would preserve it. But in order for that salt to preserve that food, that salt couldn't just sit there in that barrel. It had to permeate the food. In order for light to be effective, it can't be put under a basket. It has to have a way to penetrate the darkness. And here what Jesus is saying is he's using this as a way to say, you must not isolate yourself from the world. And so Jesus is saying, I want you to be salt of the earth and the light of the world. And it's really neat here that Jesus doesn't use the same word. He uses one word for earth and one word for world, and we often use those words synonymously, but the word he uses there for earth often refers to the planet that we are living on. The word he uses for world often refers to a world system, a way of thinking, a way of what you do, but specifically a world system apart from Christ. And so what does he mean then when he says this? It's a call for action, but because it's a call for action, that means it is a missional statement. He doesn't want us just to be the salt of Jerusalem. He doesn't want us just to be the light. He didn't talk to the Jews and say, I want you to be the light of Palestine. No, he says the world. And so that ought to remind us that our mission as his followers is the world. But our temptation as Christians is often just to create and remain in holy huddles. But Jesus here reminds us that our mission is for us to go out and to reach the world. And as Jesus Christ's disciples, we are not called to reach the church. We are called to reach those who are outside the church. We are called to go out. That is our mission. That is our calling. And to be salt and to be light is a reminder of this. But it also means it's a call for action, which means that we are to be ambassadors for Christ in our world. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 and 20 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled of God. So whether we like it or not, we are representatives for Christ in this world. See, Jesus is not walking on our planet anymore like he was when he gave this sermon. But he is still being portrayed because he is living through us and our witness. And since we are ambassadors for Christ, then that means we must guard our influence. We must make sure, we must protect and guard our influence and who we are as his ambassadors. This is echoed in Luke chapter 14, verses 34 through 35. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? If it is of no use either for the soul or for the manure pile, it is thrown away. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. You know, one of the saddest things that the church has struggled with for centuries is not how can we as a church impact the world and the culture around us, but the thing that we have struggled with the most is the impact that the culture has on us. Because what we see that's happening more and more is the church is seeing, well, this is changing in my culture. This is changing in our land and in our world. So we need to reevaluate what we believe. We need to reevaluate what we stand for. And we have always struggled with that, and we're changing our beliefs. We're changing our understandings every single day. We see news of this happening here in America and around the world. But what we must understand is that we must guard our influence. If we look just like everyone else, then why are they going to listen to our message? We must realize that the standard that our world looks to is not the same standard that Jesus has. For our standard is not what our culture says. Our standard is not what our boss believes. Our standard is not what our neighbors or our family members believe. Our standard is the Word of God. And the only way that we can be ambassadors for Christ is by guarding our influence and not letting our culture influence us, but us standing firm upon the true Word of God. And so we can see that we must guard our influence if we are to be ambassadors for Christ. But it also means that we must allow ourselves to be scattered. Now, just like when we were looking at the Beatitudes, I said time and time again that the Beatitudes were not just some random list of characteristics that Jesus was putting in place. No, they were building off one another. And the same is true for here. Because it should be no surprise for us that as soon as he says, blessed are the persecuted, that he immediately reminds us that we are to be salt and light. Because see, Jesus is saying, if a person is living this way that I described in the Beatitudes, what we are calling the opposite way, what Jesus calls as the narrow way, Jesus says that when you are living this type of life, there is one thing you can expect. That people will insult you, that people will persecute you because of the way you are living, because of the witness that you have. And see, the challenge is, the temptation is, often when we are persecuted, our temptation is that we say, I'm just going to pull back. I'm going to pull back from society because I don't want to taint my pure heart. So if I want to maintain a pure heart, then I cannot be around and be surrounded by all these things that are going to devour my life. So the temptation when we are persecuted is that we just want to pull back. We don't want to live this life openly. We don't want to be surrounded by all these things. And so what we do is we create what I like to call a holy huddle. It's where we just basically surround ourselves with safeness. People who are just like us. People who believe just like us. And we avoid everyone else at all costs. Thing is, we actually see this in the early church. It's happening there. Because in Acts chapter 1, we read that after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he's there, the disciples, all of his followers, they've huddled together. They're there, they're staying together, they're not involved in the world. Jesus is there with them, and he's speaking to them, and he says, hey, guess what? I'm going to make you witnesses of me to the ends of the earth. And as he's talking, Scripture says that he's lifted up into heaven on a cloud. And all of them are sitting there looking up. Jesus just told them, hey, you're to go to the ends of the earth. And they're just there, standing in amazement. I don't know how long they were standing there, but apparently it was a while, because two angels appear, and they say, oh, men of Galilee, why are you standing here looking up into the heavens? This Jesus who just went to heaven is going to return in the same way, basically saying, hey, Jesus just said, go. Go and make disciples. Why are you still standing here? Because that Jesus, he's going to return someday, and if you don't get busy now, you're going to be caught off guard. And we find that they're just standing there. Eventually they leave, but we find that what happens is they still huddle together. They're still staying together, surrounding themselves with each other, not doing much. But we find persecution arises, and it is then that they are scattered and the gospel spreads. But it was because they scattered. They didn't surround themselves with just them. But see, we do the same thing today. We create our own holy huddles. We like to just be surrounded by people who are just like us. And even today, we've gone a step further as we've even created today our own Christian subculture. We've created places where we know we can be safe, where we're not going to have to deal with any of these evil things that are in that outside world. And as I'm talking about this, I want you to understand, I'm not saying that any of these things are bad. But what I am saying is that when we engage and begin to participate and we become part of this Christian subculture, as we withdraw from certain aspects of our everyday culture, we must then seek other ways to engage our culture as salt and light. We must never become completely unplugged from the world around us, because when we do, we have lost our witness. We have lost our chance to share. And we do all of these things to create this Christian subculture when we have Christian school systems. When we feel a school system has left us, we will say that that's fine and we'll just go out and start our own. We'll have Christian sports leagues because the others have left where we are. And in these sports leagues, there's no cussing, there's no alcohol, everyone gets to play, there's good sportsmanship. And as I said, these things aren't bad. But the problem is that when we begin to isolate ourselves from the rest of the world, often what happens is we're not finding these other ways to be salt and light. Instead, we separate, we become our own. We can even see that today there's Christian dating sites. You know, you go on there and all these things. You say, well, I'm a Christian, I want to find another Christian, and they'll match you up online. We even have Christian fast food. It's called Chick-fil-A, and I love it. But what we see is that we must find all these other ways to become salt and light in this world when we pull back into our holy huddles. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. He is calling us to be scattered. This is not a call for only to meet with people and only to talk with people when they meet us on our own terms. But instead, we as a church are to rush the gates of hell and engage the culture and people around us with the transforming power of the gospel. We're not to wait till they come to us in this church building, but no, we are to go to their homes. We are to go to their workplaces. We are to go to the places they like to eat and deliver the great and glorious message of salvation to the people where they are. We're not to wait for them to come to us, but we are to go to them. We must be scattered if we are to be Christ ambassadors. And the last thing it means to be about being a Christ ambassador is that it's not about you. It's not about you. Because see, the thing about salt and light is they don't call attention to themselves. You know, just imagine with me for a moment your favorite food. All right, got that going in your mind? I know it's getting close to lunchtime. So you're sitting down at a table, just your favorite food sitting right in front of you, seasoned to perfection. Everything is just right. Now, once you finish eating that meal, whatever it is, you don't pull back from that table and say, oh man, that salt was just exquisite. That was the best salt I've ever tasted. Because if you did, you're going to get some funny looks. Because we don't even notice the salt there. Because salt doesn't draw attention to itself. It just enhances something else. The same is true about light. If you've ever been to an art gallery, you'll notice it's all about the lighting. They'll have special lights that are portraying those paintings, and it's basically just to bring glory to what's hanging on the wall. And you don't sit there and look at an amazing painting and say, what amazing light. You don't do that because it doesn't draw attention to itself. And in that case, we are more like the moon and the sun because we are reflecting the glory of the source. That's what John the Baptist did. John was extremely popular, and many came out to hear him speak because they thought he was the Messiah. But John 1:8 says that he was not the light, but that he came to testify about the light. And so, see, we don't go around creating any light of our own. Instead, we just reflect the glory of the Lord. And so we don't have to worry about the purpose of being light, because in verse 16, Jesus clearly tells us that the goal of us being light is so that God's glory will be seen by all those around us. And so we see we must be ambassadors to Christ. It's a call to action, but it is also a call for us to be distinct. Jesus includes a warning here. He talks about salt losing its saltiness. What does that mean? You know, salt remains pretty much the same unless it's diluted with something else. I've heard that at night, when you're at the Dead Sea, that salt crystals will form on the beach. And early in the morning there, you will notice that there are salt crystals there all along the beach. And you'll be able to pick out the salt crystals and be able to recognize the difference between the salt and the sand. But as it gets warmer and the sun begins to heat things up, all of a sudden that salt and sand began to mix together. And you can no longer tell the difference. See, Jesus doesn't want us to be like that. He wants us to be distinct. Not so that people will look at us and admire us. Not so that people will talk about us. Not even so that we could feel better about ourselves, but so that people will look at us and glorify our Father. As a matter of fact, if we are not that way, it's like when the salt is cast out into the street and trampled under by foot, but under the foot of men. And what this is basically saying, it's a way of saying that this is something that is disgraced. This is something that is not admirable. And so we can see that there is nothing admirable about claiming to be a follower of Christ, but blending in and looking like everyone else. It is a call for us to be distinct. If we are a follower of Jesus, people might not agree with you, but they will admire your consistency. But if you claim to be a follower of Jesus, but your life reflects something else, let me tell you that people do not respect that. It tends to be a disgrace. So as we end this morning, I want to share a couple of next steps. How can we be salt and light? But before I do that, I want us to understand that the way that you can be salt and light is going to be different depending on your home, where you go to school, where you work, where your family members and friends are, the gifts that God has given you. It's going to be distinct to you. But the thing is, we all just need to live it out. We need to find some way to be salt and light and not to isolate ourselves so far from culture that we lose our effectiveness, and don't fall to the temptation so far that we lose our effectiveness, the effectiveness of our sonship and our daughtership, that it becomes diluted by other things that are trampled underfoot by men. That would be a disgrace. So my question for you this morning is, what is your way? What is God calling you to? How can you be faithful? How can you be obedient? How can you trust Him and be salt and light? Here are some of the next steps of the ways that we can take that next step. First of all, we have to accept the fact that if this morning you are a disciple of Jesus, that your life is distinct. Now, if you're here this morning and you are not a follower of Christ, I want to share with you that that can change today. Here in just a moment, we're going to have an invitation, and I can say that there are many people here who would be willing to share with you what it means to become a follower of Christ and how you can trust in Him today. I'll share with you about what it means to be a follower of Christ, but it must start with that if you are a disciple, you must accept the fact that your life is distinct. The second step is that we must let our light shine. If you have the Spirit of Christ living within you, let it shine. All I had in my head the entire time I was preparing this sermon was a little kid's song that we all love to sing. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Or the favorite thing I like to do with my kids, my mind's going blank. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. My kids love the yelling of the no there. But there's so much truth to that song. Jesus is using terms here that would have been very common in this time. Because if you want light to shine in your house, you can't put it under a basket. See, they just had candles. That's how they lit their house. You light a candle and you put it under a basket, what's going to happen? Nothing. You got to let the light shine. Third step is that we can continue to live out who, that you need to continue to live out who you are. The Lord wants you to live out who you are in Him. See, it's not our job to guilt people who don't know Jesus. It's not our job to convict people who don't know Jesus. It's not our job to judge people who don't know Jesus. But it is our job to be salt and to be light. And the last step is to give and spread yourself out for the glory of God. And as you do this, you may be insulted. You may be persecuted. There will be some who don't like your message. Jesus didn't say, I want you to be the honey of the earth. He didn't say, I want you to be the sugar of the world. No, he says, I want you to be salt. I want you to be light. And salt has a bite to it. Light sometimes can reveal things we don't want to see. And so this message might not always be received well, but we are still called to be salt and light. So what if? What if this morning we all understood who we are in Christ? That as children of God, we are salt and light. And so we began living that out and impacting our homes, our schools, our workplaces, our neighborhoods, and our city for the kingdom of God. What if Big Spring Baptist Church was more than just that big church on the hill? But what if we were a lighthouse penetrating the darkness around us by revealing the glory, the grace, and the love of God to everyone in this community? What if we were no longer concerned about us and what goes on here and how things are carried out and how things are placed in this building or in our gym or anywhere on this property, but that now our church building was every home, every apartment, every business, every school in this community, that we are penetrating the community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as a result, drug usage is going down. Drug dealers are coming to Christ. Crime rate lowers. Families and homes are restored. Communities are changed. And you might say, that's a good dream, Pastor. That can't happen. Let me tell you, I've read articles, I've seen it. I've seen all of this happen, and I've seen police departments say, we can't attribute what is going on in this community that was so ridden with problems that now they're gone. And the only way that they could say this has changed is because of the work of the local church. But the only way that this all can start is with each of us being salt and light, with us influencing and impacting the culture and the people around us. And so my question is, are you being salt and light? It must all first begin with us trusting and following Christ. And if you have not, I plead with you. I beg of you. Turn to Him today. Today can be your day of salvation. Scripture says that if we believe that Christ came and upon that cross hung and died and bled for us so that we could receive forgiveness of sins, and as a Son of God, He did that as the only acceptable sacrifice. And on the third day, He rose from the dead, defeating sin, defeating death, defeating hell. And that if we believe in that and we confess that with our mouth, that we can be saved. And we can begin to be, you can begin to be salt and light. But this morning, if you are a follower of Christ, Jesus says, you are salt. You are light. So let's be that. Let's live out our identity in Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for all that You have done. And we know that our world around us is pushing in on all sides. the temptation is for us as your disciples is either to change what we believe so that we're more acceptable to our neighbors, to our co-workers, or completely withdraw and just try to wait it out, try to survive. But the challenge is, if we do any of those, we cannot be salt and light as you have commanded us. So, Father, I pray that you would help us to be a people, that you would help us to be a church, that it is salt and is light in this community, that we will be living a life that glorifies you, and when people see us, they will say, they must know the Father. They're followers of God. There's something different about them. Father, help us to have courage. Help us to be bold. Because we know that it's becoming harder and harder every day to live for you. We know that every day there seems to be more repercussions for following you. But Father, help us. Mold us. Make us into what you have called us to be. Make us your lighthouse. Make us salt. Make us the disciples that you have called us to be, so that we are reaching people. We are spreading your gospel. And we are fulfilling the mission you have set before us to go and to make disciples. We pray for all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Let's stand as we sing. I'll say.